What's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William the Opinion Updike.
And I am Positive Chuck Mockler.
And we are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Yes.
We're bringing you that Clippers news 3 days a week.
Hell yeah, we are.
Proudly sponsored by rockauto.com.
Dude, I'm rocking auto truly all day.
Day in, day out. If you need parts, go ahead and check out rockauto.com. Anyways, we got a heck of a show lined up for you today. We're going to kick things off with our Twitter Tuesday segment. Still asking questions every single Tuesday on at Locked On Clips. Look out for the prompt. Also, if you got a question burning in your mind at any time during the week, go ahead, send those over at Locked On Clips, at Will Updike, at Charles Mockler. We'd love to hear from you.
Oh, yeah.
And as always, thank you to everyone who did send those questions in ahead of time. And then we're going to be talking some more Orlando stuff. There have been some changes with the support of the Black Lives Matter and its prominence on the return to the NBA. There's also some new Adam Silver stuff. And just overall, we got to talk more about the burgeoning situation there.
Yeah.
And then in shavings, we're going to have some Noah talk, who is, if you've listened to the pod thus far, the biggest come up on this whole season stoppage.
Yeah, shout out to Jeff Siegel. I hope I'm saying that right, but he had some information. He's a salary cap guy, it says it in his Twitter bio. But yeah, some interesting information about Noah's contract that we're going to talk about, and there's already some conspiracy theories coming out about it, too.
Can't wait for that. So stay tuned for all that and more coming up right about now.
Yeah, so welcome to Twitter Tuesday. Again,
hey.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, appreciate everyone who's sending their questions.
Thank you so much for still having questions. We know things are kind of slow right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's just get right into it. Chizzy Burger, who's asked questions before. Asks, what our analysis / take on our last three signings versus the Lakers? So just to run this down, the Clippers' last three signings were Reggie Jackson, Marcus Morris, Joakim Noah. The Lakers, Dion Waiters, the other Morris, and J.R. Smith. So upon face value, if you don't mind me taking this one first.
All right.
Our three signings, I don't know, make infinitely more sense, and one of them wasn't done out of the fact that we had to lose a key player.
Yeah,
and so
unfortunately.
Unfortunately, of course. So I think that we, 80-20, Clippers win this matchup.
Yeah, I got to agree. TBD on both the Morris and JR signings, or the Waiters and DR and JR signings. Sorry about that. I think picking up Keefe is solid.
That's a good signing.
I think that's solid. He didn't get to perform as well in the playoffs last year as he would have. He was suffering through a neck injury. But historically, I saw somebody have a tweet that he has had better playoff performances than his brother, who has had much better regular season success. But still some deep runs with those Celtics teams.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I got to agree with you. It's 80-20, and I got to be honest, too. Without seeing these guys on the court, I would say I would have had Marcus Morris as a much higher value signing and Reggie as kind of a nothing
for
to
sure.
lower value signing. And now I would flip-flop those two things.
Yeah. There's some recency bias, but I'm here for it.
And Marcus Morris, he's not a nothing signing. He's great. TBD.
They have a first-round pick for him, too. So longevity-wise, if we don't re-sign Morris, then I would revisit this question and be like, damn.
TBD on though what the market value is and what he looks like.
Definitely.
For the remaining eight games and the postseason.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, Waiters, when was the last time he played meaningful basketball?
We'll talk about it in a few seconds. So Joakim Noah is the one for the Clippers where I'm like, we're going to talk about in the later segment. But this, I'm like, dude, the Clippers have more faith in Joakim Noah than...
This is the equivalent of Joakim Noah for me, the JR signing. It's like...
Yeah, but they're... So that's the thing.
Interesting.
They're going to need JR Smith to play.
Yes.
We don't need Noah to play.
Yeah, and I mean, the JR thing, depending on what he looks like, you know, haven't seen him play basketball in a long time. If he's able to play more shooting guard and doesn't have to handle a whole lot of point duties, I mean, I think that could be a solid bench guy.
Yeah. We'll see. But now you had a note in here. Something was ticking you off from Bleacher Report.
So Bleacher Report had a tweet that was something like, look what Waiters did to the Clippers. And they played a Heat game in which the Heat lost and were down by 12 throughout the entirety of the highlights that they show.
Yeah.
And okay, to be fair, to Waiters' credit, he does block Lou Will twice in one possession.
Yeah, that's some good shit.
The release was a little goofy. I will say from Lou that the release was a little goofy. It seemed a little
rushed.
More
Lou than Dion.
I mean,
Lou would probably say the same thing.
And then the rest of the clips of Waiters going off on the Clippers, just the verbiage that they use, was him being defended by Landry Shamet or Rodney Magruder.
Yeah. Couple of
the best two defenders on the Clippers roster.
Team all NBA defense right there. when it's also Waiters doing Waiters things where it's like, oh, there's a pull up three. Great. Take it all day, dude.
Yeah.
One of the reasons we lost to the Bucks, not the one time I'm talking about, but the other time was because Giannis hit some absurd amount of threes.
Yeah. So
Deion Waiters and Giannis have the same, like, dude, just take him, you idiot. Like, it's fine. No, that tweet is great. Ricky Chu, who I'm not sure if he listens to this podcast, he had a great tweet. He quoted it and he was like, didn't the Clippers, like, win this game? Isn't this what happened?
It irked me. All right? It irked me.
Dude, it's a fair irk. Like, I mean, I was irked by it too. George RC wonders, if Trez leaves next season, do you think Fee gets a shot at backup energy big?
I no.
gotta say something. I think Fee is, could be, won't be next year, could be infinitely more than an energy big at some point. Obviously not. I'm not gonna say he's on Trez's level, but his game is different. He's not an energy guy.
He's,
you know what I'm saying? Like, he's not the guy you put in to bring the vibe and tempo up. Like, Fee, they're trying to make Fee a stretch five.
He is not a big.
Or stretch four. Fair.
He's not a big.
Got the big wingspan.
He's never gonna be a big in the NBA. I don't even think in smaller lineups. You know, he's very young. He's only 22 years old. Obviously his body could fill out, or his instincts could get to a level that would allow him to mitigate some of those factors. In my mind, even in a small lineup, I don't really see a scenario in which Fee is playing meaningful minutes at the five.
And especially, I also say not next year.
Yeah.
Cause like, I like Fee. Like, so Justin Russo had some fun stats about Fee. From January 11th through the end of the season, Fee shot 39.5% from three and 72% inside 8 feet for 13 games for ACC. That, and he said not too bad. Those are the numbers where I'm like, dude, you're a raw prospect and you're going to have like three more seasons of this. I'll be psyched. But next season, I'm just not seeing it.
Yeah. I mean, it's like we've said over and over, right? With the team as top heavy as it is. Well, both top heavy and deep, to be perfectly honest.
It's top and bottom heavy.
As it is.
It's the ideal situation.
You it's really hard to get any sort of development time. And that's just another one of those reasons. I think sometimes bigs can take longer to develop because they've gotten by for so long on athleticism.
Especially Fee.
Yeah, and it's like kind of at a...
He's only played basketball, like organized basketball for like 5 years or something like that.
Yeah,
like,
and so it's kind of at a different level once you get to the NBA. But I do think... if you know his rebounding numbers can stay solid, and that three is reliable in game,
yeah,
I think he's could be a solid man at the four.
Yeah, he could be.
I still think, yeah, I don't know. I just haven't gotten a good enough look at Fee's finishing
against pros, because when he comes in, yeah, from the Clippers, the joke literally
he shoots from outside
from top down for the organization. I've heard Dennis talk about this.
Yeah,
it's like Fee has the green light. They want Fee to shoot.
Yes.
He will never be Trez.
No.
It's the complete opposite of what they want Trez to do.
Completely different skill sets.
Which is fun.
Completely different things. But I do agree. I mean, like, I love this idea. And I do think if he can keep that shot consistent, I mean, he could be, you know, like a third up four. You know, yeah, he's a deep rotation kind of a four. But yeah, I still just struggle to see a path for him at the five.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Artist and fantastic activist LOL WTF Eric, who released some stickers, all proceeds of his character Buster. All proceeds go to BLM. I missed that on the last batch. Eric, if you do another one, please get at me. I will buy more.
Shout out Eric.
He said, barring Kawhi and PG, who would be your pick for an NBA Jam duo? We've had this question before, but I would truly answer it every single episode we do if people wanted us to.
All league or who Clippers?
any Clippers history. Like, who would be your NBA Jam?
Oh, okay. So, I mean, if we're going current, I'm going Pat and Trez, but that has more to do with the way that I play the game. I usually like to have guards.
So that's the issue, is that how you play NBA Jam is very big.
I mean, that's why I'm giving it an asterisk or an explanation. So I would go Pat and Trez, because I usually like guards that have a high steal rate.
Yeah. Steals are brutal in that game.
Yeah, it's steal. Bullshit, you can devastate an opponent if you have a guard who has good steals.
You can make your friend stop playing the game.
And I usually also like a guard who shoots really well from three.
Yeah.
I'm fine if their shooting is even better than their passing because I'm usually trying to steal the ball and rush into a transition three, which is not the way NBA Jam is maybe meant
not
to play.
At all.
But
not at all.
The strategy works against 89% of the people that you play
all
at Jam.
Threes. Yeah. All threes. So yeah, if I was going all threes, I'd pick CP3 and
Pull. Oh, I was saying current, not all. I didn't do sure. all time yet.
Current, I would go Shamit and Lou. Honestly. You just shoot threes the whole time.
Oh, I like it. You're not even going with a big.
Don't even care.
I'm just
going Shamit and Lou. All time, I would go either CP3 and the Polish Pistol or CP3 and Blake, because I think Blake's three could be just good enough on that scale of 1 to 10 that if you got on fire with Blake, you would then it would just be over.
Yeah.
We have also, if it's not clear, have played so much NBA Jam for the PS3.
I'm incredible.
We had busted comments. We had the weirdest. I played people in NBA Jam sometimes who like wouldn't come over to my apartment and they'd be like, why the hell are you being the Suns with these players? And it would just be wild.
Yeah, we used to play so much Jam. And I will say that to me, Jam is still the best basketball game.
Yeah.
Don't at me. I understand liking 2K, but I think that Jam is the most fun.
People who like 2K love the game Sim Ant, too.
And if I'm going all time, I guess a little bit of cop-out, but I'd have to go CP3, Blake, for the same reasons as mentioned. Yeah. CP3
DeAndre,
for the steals.
DeAndre in NBA Jam is unbelievable.
I like the shooting with Blake a little bit.
The blocks. And we could, all right, we're going to do maybe a bonus.
See, that's the only downside to going two guards. It's like you can't, you're never getting a block.
Yeah. Out. And my timing on blocks got so good. Man, Eric, thank you so much for that question. That question is a little bit of escapism right now. I appreciate it.
But if anyone out there in Clipperdom, Twitterdom, has a different opinion or who they would use in an NBA Jam duo, please let us know at Locked On Clips.
If you're trying to game down NBA Jam, find me on PSN, Swag Train, all cap letters, one word.
Oh, is it online?
I don't know. Hope so. Anyway, hit me up. Swag Train, all cap letters, one word. Do not regret that name for a second. Coming up after this, we're going to be talking Orlando, because never in my life have I ever thought about the city of Orlando more than now. But first,
thankfully, I would say,
we got to give a shout out to Rock Auto.
That's right, man. They're a family business. They've been serving auto parts customers online. Business. What's that?
This is family business. Low-key, one of the best Kanye songs. Doesn't get enough love.
Easily. I mean, it was written about rockauto.com. You know, they've been serving customers online for 20 years. So go to rockauto.com, shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They've got everything. They got engine control modules, ECMs, as Charles is fond of saying. They got brake parts. They got tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Anything you could need for your classic or even a daily driver. Get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door.
A DD?
Rockauto.com. The catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle, choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. You don't need to drop your pro card at rockauto.com. They give you the same price. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts?
Why do it?
I don't know. Do you? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck right locked on. And their How Did You Hear About Us box, so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com.
All right. Did you know that Rock Auto was actually in the basement 5 beats a day for 3 summers? Okay, that's just for the day ones out there. We're talking Orlando talk. There was something. This one is very pertinent to the Clippers. Per Woj, we saw today, Black Lives Matter will be painted on the sides of the court, which is good. They're also kind of on the other side of the spectrum. Chris Haynes tweeted out, NBA unlikely to place names of police brutality victims on players' jerseys with a concern of adding more unnecessary pain to grieving families if loved ones are omitted. I personally can't really speak on this issue because I've never had a loved one slain by the police. So this one, I'm like, I don't know. Part of me feels maybe it was a corporate thing.
Yeah, it just depends on where this is coming from. If it's coming from even one family member, then I think
all
totally 100% valid. Yeah.
But so the Black Lives Matter on the side of the court, I think we can all agree that is good for bringing awareness. It's fantastic.
Yeah, definitely.
But as you've said on this podcast before, that is...
This was always going to be bare minimum to me.
Bare minimum.
It was going to be bare minimum to have the court painted, allow players to wear patches of either a Black Lives Matter insignia, an ACAB insignia, if you will.
There you go.
And the you know, the names of the victims on the back of the jerseys. That to me was like baseline for negotiation, or should, I mean, like, I think should be for the Players Association. And so I and you are both curious to see how this moves forward in terms of maybe some more kind of tangible either donations or, I mean, even
bail fund donations, scholarships, like
even allowing players the space to promote these sort of things on air, on mm-hmm. on, you know, promoted must see TV air, I think is better than the bare minimum.
Absolutely. There needs to be, like, I think I put in the notes in here, lasting pillars of change from this.
I hope, you know,
because the opportunity is there. The players want it.
And
as they should, it's a fantastic opportunity for the league, because it is a league and they still care about money.
Yeah. And at the same time, the players are risking so much to do this.
Yes.
Like, I just think that they should be allowed to use this platform, which, you know, they are profited off of, you know, more than 10 times what they make.
No shit.
I don't know. I'm curious to see what can happen.
Yeah. And this also, you know, how does this affect Lou's situation if they don't do the last names? Because this is one thing he kind of talked about. Greif tweeted that. He was like, this is literally exactly what Lou talked about.
Yeah.
So there was no reporting on if Lou is still leaning. He said he's going to go with the collective on this, which, you know, good for Lou. A little tense for fans, but we don't really matter right now in this sense. But just some interesting notes, I guess, on that front. And then Adam Silver had a Time 100 talk today. I don't know what that is.
Top 100 under 100.
Damn, I'm never going to make that list. he said, if cases are isolated, that's one thing. But if we have a lot of cases, we're going to stop. He says, he also mentioned he won't be in Orlando the whole time. Dude, what the fuck else are you doing?
Yeah.
You don't think it would be maybe tight for some of the players to see the commish in the bubble the whole time?
Yeah. And, like, so you're entering and exiting? Like, are you are you subject to the same 14-day quarantine when you re-enter?
I hope so. Like, well, he talked about how, like, he might get there's other testing for him and all this stuff. But I'm like, dog, be there.
Yeah.
Your job is to run the NBA. It's happening in one place for 3 months. This is literally the only time you'll ever get to be in the same place as every playoff team playing at once.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah, I'm not sure about this one.
It's like when your boss tells you to go, like, go clean out that basement. There's some asbestos. You're like, well, can you help me out? And they're like, oh, why the fuck would I go up there? And you're like, what? Like, I get asbestos. Like, what is he going to do?
Yeah, it's very bizarre to me.
Is he going to watch the games even? Like, I don't know, man. He also, on players kneeling for the national anthem, Silver said, and whether players will be allowed to kneel during national anthem. He said, I'm not comfortable with the word allow. I think we'll deal with that situation when it presents itself. NBA players are not allowed to kneel during the anthem per rules. That's a cop out answer.
So, I mean,
answer to me says, I wait to see what LeBron does.
Totally, totally.
That is how the league goes. And I'm like, it was the same with the I Can't Breathe shirts. Like, I don't mean to put all the onus on LeBron, but, like, you say, so you're not obviously totally comfortable with them kneeling for the anthem.
Yeah, so I say, why not just go up front and say, we will not enforce any...
Rules
pertaining to people kneeling during the anthem.
Yeah, like, why say...
But I do understand maybe, like, being uncomfortable with the word allow, because I feel like that adds a weird connotation. And absolutely. I do feel like that was the vocab surrounding the NFL in a similar scenario. I think that like, I can understand that part, but yeah, you're right. I mean, this is such a cop-out answer. Just say, we're not going to enforce any bylaws pertaining to the national anthem.
We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. It's like, so you know you're going to get to it. You know the bridge is coming. And you know it's probably going to be a pretty rough bridge.
Yeah.
Based on the world.
Yeah.
So, but you're waiting.
It's like the same thing with, like, why are they making players wear suits if they're in the bubble?
Dude, like, you gotta get...
For what?
You gotta wear the suit?
For what?
Like, fuck off.
And, like, I mean, what you're bringing, I'm assuming, is pretty limited. How many suits are you gonna bring? How many suits are you bringing to the bubble?
Personally?
Yeah.
I would take, as someone who owns, I don't even think half a suit.
As someone who borrows my blazers to go to funerals.
To go to funerals. And your dad's third wedding sometimes. No, I'd take one suit and I'd be like, this is what you get. This is your fault. This is my one suit. I'm not paying to have shit dry clean.
I'd get like one of those Lululemon suits that's just performance wear.
Oh, yeah.
In the shape of a suit.
I'm getting a Nike skin suit.
Yes.
Like, I'm getting, you know what I'm getting? It would look much less performance inducing on me. I'm getting the Williams cat suit that everyone hated Williams wearing. I think it was at Wimbledon.
Okay.
She wore the all black cat suit and it was like, she was literally too strong to wear other clothes and she's the best athlete of all time. And everyone's like, you can't wear that. Like, it's a suit. Like, no, the suit thing is bullshit. That's not being talked about enough.
It's absurd to me, but whatever.
The other thing that's not being talked about enough is how that they
It's
were,
a college campus. The bubble is a college campus.
The other thing that's not being talked about enough is how they were like, they're using the septum test as a punishment if you leave. That's weird. The threat of physical punishment is one of the reasons.
Corporal punishment.
It's weird, bro. I know it's a COVID test, but it's weird to be like, this one hurts more. Think about leaving then.
We don't like to say we allow players to do things, but we do enforce
corporal punishment if they don't. Anyway.
Kid gets out of line, I got no problem smacking them up.
Yeah, exactly. Like, also, real quick, the Nuggets had to close their practice facilities due to positive tests within their traveling party. Don't think this will be the first time we see this happening.
No. Didn't the Nets do the same thing?
They reopened, I believe.
Oh, they reopened.
They reopened
gotcha.
Today, the same day this was announced. It's going to be a trip. What if one team just doesn't go? Has that been discussed?
It hasn't.
What if there's a situation where it's like, oh, it's everywhere. Trainers got it. We can't go.
It hasn't. I mean, I guess I thought initially if any one team was to do it, it would be Portland. They were against the The only
You're like fellas, I know there's a pandemic. Let's take a look at this draft lottery.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, they were the only team against it from the beginning. And sure, maybe their intents were mixed. The Dame has been pretty someone who's, you know, very close in his relationship with fans has been very vocal about how much the Corona thing hits close to home.
Same with CJ McCollum, too. Being like, wash your damn hands.
Yeah.
Like where early on. Oh, also shout out Shane Brendan. He's a Portland comedian. He was in, I know him from doing comedy in LA. He was in the new 2K commercial announcing Damian Lillard being the athlete.
Oh, way to go. Yeah. I thought that was cool too. Shout out Dame.
Shout out Dame. Shout out Shane Brendan. Coming after this, we're talking Joakim Noah's mother flipping contract.
All right, so we're back with shavings. And Charles, do you want to break down this contract situation?
Okay, so Joakim Noah, he got signed to a 2-year contract. He was signed to the end of this year.
Yep.
And then the end of next year, which was reported as non-guaranteed.
Non-guaranteed, yes.
And we were all like, love a non-guaranteed contract. Like, most of the way we get paid is non-guaranteed.
I love it for the salary cap. I don't know if I love it. Love it.
You know what I'm saying. But then, shout out again one more time. We have to give credit to Jeff Siegel. I apologize if I'm pronouncing this wrong. He said, not sure this is already out there, but Joakim's contract with the Clippers will fully guarantee for $2.7 million for the 2021 season on the Clippers opening night, whenever that is. So basically, Joakim just has to make it through training camp, as Justin Russo put it, to get this contract.
Yeah.
Is this still technically a non-guaranteed contract because he has to make it through training camp and pass a physical and stuff?
I mean, in that sense, totally.
But it still feels, I'm like,
it's feeling more and more like an inevitability.
Yeah. Like,
yes. And I think that goes back to like the fee not really being developed out of five for whatever.
Oh, really good point, actually.
For whatever reason, they still are unwilling to give Motley some meaningful minutes. Yeah.
Part of me thinks Motley needs to move on from ACC if he wants to get a shot with an NBA team.
I said that either last week or something. Like, I was like, I think he needs to go elsewhere if he's going to get time in the NBA.
Yeah. And this is of course starting some Trez conspiracy theories I've seen.
Okay.
Someone on Twitter. I'm not going to name these people because sometimes conspiracy theories, like, we all have them.
Oh, and we don't freeze and cold take.
No,
anyone.
I'm not going to freeze and cold take anyone but myself.
Yes.
And you a couple of times.
Yeah, that's fair.
Saying that this is insurance because they know Trez is going to walk. So this way we have like this third piece and all these things. I don't think it's like there's some conspiracy that they already know Trez is not going to sign whatever contract. That seems insane. But this is insurance. This is an insurance signing.
I mean,
if you don't trust Zoo, which Doc doesn't, and the front office might, we don't know. But like, if you don't trust Zoo, you bring in a vet who can soak up the 4 minutes or whatever that you want to give Trez the break in. Like, this is insurance for Trez, but I don't think in a like a weird, malicious way.
No, I mean, if we know anything about this front office, they're prepared. They're prepared for the future.
You're damn right. oh man, that's the yes.
And you know, so I think that they've looked at this from a lot of angles, and it seems like from what they've seen, which I still don't quite understand how limited or whole that view is of what they've actually seen of him playing with the team. Mm-hmm. But they think that this is the best move, and I mean, I think at the price it makes sense. If you know, if he can contribute 5 meaningful minutes in a game,
Even every game. If he can give us the like, oh, Trez rolled an ankle. Maybe he shouldn't be playing after this timeout. If
maybe
he
we can
those 3 minutes.
You know what? That's a great point. Honestly,
if he can give us the Trez took a hard fall minutes.
Yeah, I mean, I see it almost as an insurance policy, not against Trez walking, but just prolonging Trez's health.
That look, you know what? I'm supposed to be the positive one. That's a fantastic way to look at it. This is a preserve Trez move.
Okay, so that being said, let me allow to get real for a second right now. No. What do you think the conversations are like right now between the front office and Trez? Now, I love Trez. Happens. Love Trez to death. I'm going to preface this with that.
Yeah.
It does seem like he's going through a difficult time.
Just emotionally, straight up. So also, send Trez some love right now.
Yes.
Send Montrezl Harrell some love.
If
you follow the Clippers, you know Trez is an emotional guy.
Yes.
As we all, as humans are.
And I don't necessarily believe that this is anything to do with contract related or necessarily basketball related. I think it's, you know, we all go through stuff. We're all human beings. But I do wonder with kind of, we talked about a switch being flipped with Trez's kind of, persona this year. And I'm wondering how that has affected conversations with the front office.
Here's an interesting note. Trez was tweeting about tattoos the other day.
Yeah.
He tweeted, face tats don't even hurt, with a shrug emoji.
Yeah.
Deleted that tweet. Interesting. Maybe other tweet is up. I hope Trez has a face tat. We're winning the championship if Trez gets a face tat.
I think
I'm also pro face tat. I've been living in LA so long that I'm like, yeah, if you do them tastefully, they look great.
I think they can look really good.
For sure.
I think he was more commenting on how face tats aren't hard, and maybe somebody, say, Wilson Chandler was like, yo, F off.
So the conversation thing, I don't even think they're happening. I think the front office, if they're in tune with the players as they kind of like to say that they are, understand how Trez operates.
Yeah.
They understand sometimes the air around Trez vibrates a little harder.
Do you have Lou in the room for contract negotiations?
Yes. You have Lou and Bev because they're locked in.
Yeah.
So like, I think if you're the Clippers, you don't have PG and Kawhi. You don't have them there because they could leave. He could sign a big contract. They could just leave the next year.
Yeah.
Lou is at least locked in for that year.
Yeah.
And like has a much, you know, he's helped Trez get to where he's at. Trez helped Lou have this new arc of his career.
Yeah.
And him, Bev, and Lou are like the big three for the Clippers.
Oh yeah.
Like fully.
Yeah.
So I think you have to have Bev and Lou there.
Lou wearing a suit?
Lou's wearing one of Trez's suits. And Trez bursts out laughing and the contract is signed.
I would pay, I'm unemployed right now, but I would pay upwards of $100 just to see a picture of Lou Williams wearing a comically large suit, like a David Byrne Stop Making Sense Talking Head style suit.
I'd love to see Lou wearing Doc's suit. Doc is a huge dude. Like, I don't mean that in a disrespect. He's a large dude.
Oh, he's a big man.
Like
big man, big boy.
Lou in the Doc suit. That'd be a good time. I'd also like to see. No, you know who's at the contract negotiations with Trez? It's just Trez and Donnie Mac. just arguing over what should happen. They're both on the same page.
I mean, I tell you, I'd love to have Brian Seaman there if I was getting a contract and just have him narrating the whole thing.
Shout out Brian Seaman.
Oh, yeah. Shout out Brian Seaman. You've done an excellent job. I'm excited for broadcast to return to get to hear your voice again.
We're going to see if he'll be on the pod.
Oh, yeah, we'll ask.
I don't know if we got enough weight to pull to get Brian. He's a big dude. He's a big dude.
We talked about a lot of big dudes.
Dude, you know what?
Love it.
Sometimes, you know, the hard kombucha goes crazy. Any other shavings?
No, I think that about does it for me.
Everyone keep being safe. If you're at the protests, wear those masks. Protests aren't the reason the virus is going crazy. We appreciate that.
As Dr. Tarchi says, you know, wash your hands, wash your ass.
Wash your ass. If you see us at the protest, say what's up. I'm probably wearing a Lithuania, a bronze medal t-shirt, flip-flops, and, you know, got a bunch of weed just falling out of my pockets. Friday's episode, oh, man.
We have the guest pod of to end all guest pods.
I'm so excited about this.
We're going to have pod regular Dr. Tarchi. Carl Tart, if you don't follow him already, what are you doing?
Wash your ass.
And as an added bonus, pod favorite the Miriam
goat.
Swanson.
The GOAT Miriam Swanson. I don't even know what we're going to talk about.
I have no idea. I think I think you'll probably hear Charles and I talk less than we've ever talked on a pod. And you know what? That's okay sometimes.
It's going to be a bunch of good times. I hope everyone has a drink. It's going to be a good time. Of course, any important Clippers breaking news will be discussed.
Yeah.
Which there might be. We might get some Lou news or something. And then whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland and the Civ in Orlando, as I'm now calling it, instead of the bubble. you can find Locked On Clips. We're at iTunes.
Yeah, on iTunes, Spotify, Deezer. Where else do people listen to stuff? Google Pods, that thing?
Google Pods. Yeah, I think it's Google Pods. I'll tell you where you won't find us. Outside without a mother flipping mask.
Hey-o!
Thank y'all so much for listening. I have been Positive Chuck Locklear.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. We appreciate you.